We're turning to the book of Ephesians. We are in the first chapter. We have come up to verse 6. And we will not try to make a survey of what we've gone through. It's too long. We'll let you join us now. Those that are visiting with us. It's the second part of chapter 6, of verse 6 of chapter 1. And I'm reading in 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And the verse before that is, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure of His will, to. And we mentioned our last message in Ephesians that the ultimate aim of God is to the praise of His glory. That's where He's going to take us. That's where He's going to take the church. That's where He's going to take the redeemed. They will be a praise to the glory of God. And now we come to the second part of that verse, of verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, or favorable, or favored, in the Beloved. God the Father has an eternity-long love affair with the Son. He is called a beloved by the Father, and He's called a beloved by the Son. There is a parental love we know on earth. There are bondings, there are attachments that go very deep and last beyond puberty, last beyond adulthood. They carry on through life, don't they? And sad to say that the direction of parental love is downward. Parents love children far more than children love parents. You can judge that by how much you love your child and how much you love your mother or your father. It goes downward. There is very little flow of love upward. Some cases, almost none at all. I could almost take away the word almost. There is none at all in some. And the flow downward is measured less or more according to the individual and their capacities and their experiences, what's happened. But there is a strong attachment. There is a saying that when children are little, they step on your toes. When they're big, they step on your heart. Some of the greatest hurts in life will come from your children. There is an attachment. God comes to us as a father. He comes to us in His fatherhood. He calls us His children. He makes us His children. He births us as His children. And He loves us as His children. And there is a strong bond of affection, a love that's so far beyond our capacities to understand. If we can only use words, as I said a minute ago, our words are very, very poor. Our words are very clumsy. Human speech is sufficient for everyday use, but when it comes to certain things, it falls short. It cannot speak. It cannot say. The reason that God has given us the gift of tongues, it takes us a little farther on. Because we don't have to compose it or push it through our mental capacities, which is like a sieve and sifts out all the goodies. But it speaks directly with a freedom that we don't know in our own language. But he loved the Son. And the Son was his delight. This Son never hurt the Father. This Son never gave pain to the Father. This Son never brought any reproach of any nature to the Father. It was his delight. As we read earlier, and we'll read again, Proverbs 8:30. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. I was rejoicing always before him. What a son. What a son. Jesus is still the Father's delight. Did you know that? He didn't stop being the Father's delight when he came to earth. Except he brought more delight, but he also brought pain to the Father's heart, didn't he? Not because of his evil deeds, but no father and no mother can watch their child be hurt and not hurt also. When my son burnt his leg up to his thigh, I pulled him around. I made him a little red wagon and pulled him around in that. But I'll tell you something. I would have gladly taken it for him. Gladly. If there was any way I could substitute for him, I would have gladly done it. I think perhaps most of you would have. Do you agree with me? I think so. The pain you don't suffer, but loved ones do, can be worse than the pain you take. So he did bring pain to the Father's heart. But at the same time, he was still a delight to the Father. And I read at the Jordan, when he was baptized, there came a voice out of heaven. And what did the voice say? This is my what? Beloved. This is my beloved son. This is the one I so delight in. This is the one that although he's hurting me, and although he's left me, and although I even sent him away, I love him more than ever. For his amazing obedience. For his amazing delight to do what I will. His delight to do what he knows will please me. Voluntary. I love the Son. He is my beloved. He was always the beloved, and he will always be the beloved. He calls himself that. I do know all praise and all glory and all eulogy and all thanksgiving and all gratitude that will praise and glorify the Son pleases the Father. You know that? It pleases the Father because his Son is given even more praise and honor. Glory. And he delights in that. He delights in anything that will bless his son. Because he loves him so much. Because there is a flow. There is a relationship or far beyond our ability to comprehend. We can just use the words and try to understand a smidgen. Something so grand and so immense and so eternal. That relationship that began way back in the eternity's past, it had no beginning. And has endured. It still endures. And we're in that, beloved. God's glory was completely revealed to man and probably to angels, and I think I can erase the word probably, by the Son. He reveals the Father. He's the manifestation of God. God was manifested in the flesh, wasn't he? That means he came up, he came out to open show so you can see it. So you can behold it, so you can get a hold of it, so you can get some concepts. Jesus manifested the Father. And I'm sure there was tremendous attention in the heavenly spheres of all angels from the day Jesus Christ was born till the day he returned. They watched everything he did. He was manifesting the Father in the carpenter shop. He was manifesting something the angels didn't know about. Did you know that? The angels knew about pride. That's how one third of them fell, isn't it? The angels knew about desire for bigger things. Satan worked with that. He was the worst. He was the one that fell the most. I will ascend. But to see the Creator God, to see Him, to see that one so high, every day working in a carpenter shop. And that's all. And that's all. Don't you think they wondered? I thought he went to save the world. Wasn't it rumored that he was going to heal the sick? And he didn't heal his own stepfather, Joseph. Didn't we hear that he was going to destroy the works of the devil? He's making a wooden chair. Did they ever know such humble, patient obedience? I don't think they did, do you? I don't think they knew about that. They watched it. They watched that beloved Son. And they saw how he pleased the Father. And I'm sure once in a while they look at the Father and wonder why that pleases him. I thought he went to do a job. And the Father is so happy with his Son. I wonder if the Father pointed out to the angels some of the good work he turned out. How that he wouldn't get angry when people cheated him on the price or didn't pay him. And how that if any mistake was made, instead of covering it up with a bit of putty, he'd start over. It was a good job. That's my Son. I don't think it's all imagination. He was pleased with his Son. Paul. I think in every one of his letters starts out to the glory of the Son. Grace, peace, mercy be to you from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. lifted him up, put him at the first of his letters. Mount Tabor, Mount of Transfiguration. The cloud was there. That wondrous, wondrous cloud. And when it drew near, they all shivered and shook. Peter stammered out, "Let's make three tabernacles here." Out of the cloud came the voice, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." In other words, shut up. But kindly said, wasn't it? This is my beloved. You know, I wish we had a little idea of how much he was loved. I wish we had an idea, a concept of how much it pleases the Father when we love him. How much it glorifies God when in true spirit of worship, I bow at his feet. Maybe wash them with my tears and say, "Jesus, I love you." Oh, I don't think there's any better way to please the Father. Do you know that? Because he loves him so much. Because he wants him to be glorified. He wants him to be uplifted. Because of what he's done. And we'll go into that later. But he's glorified in the people. And the Father delights in it. In fact, Jesus calls himself that in the story of the wicked husbandman. Another thing Jesus did, he brought glory to God. He said, John 12, "Father, glorify thyself," didn't he? "Glorify thy name." And what was the answer? "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again," didn't he? "Jesus, my son, my beloved, you have brought glory to me, and you'll bring more." He had, hadn't he? "This is my beloved son." The one that he loved. The adopted sons will bring him glory. We will. And more and more. But none of us can ever bring him the glory. The beloved son. The unique one. The only begotten. He has brought. We'll never compare with that, will we? We'll never compare. We'll never be able to bring him the glory. To bring him the honor. To bring to him the praise, the thanksgiving to the Father that the Son has already brought to him. He is the fullness of the glory of God. He manifested God. Turn to Hebrews, first chapter. Not the first chapter, I'm sorry. Yes, the first chapter. And the third verse, second verse we'll start with reading. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds," who, this Son, this beloved Son, he existed in the brightness of the glory of God. He was the exact image of the Father. Nothing lacking. Exact image of his person. So he could say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He was upholding all things by the word of his power. everything exists because He keeps it all together. It doesn't all fly apart and disintegrate. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He, by Himself, purged our sins. And when He had finished the job, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's my Son. That's my Son. That's my Beloved. This is the one. He's manifested me. He's shown me. He's shown by what He's done how much I love Him. Because, and we'll get to this later, I'll just mention it now. Because by doing so, it took all the extreme agony of Calvary. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. It pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. It pleased the Son. What a fellowship between the two. What a relationship. What an abounding love. What a flow. What an ocean of love between the Father and the Son. It took Jesus coming to the world to make redemption possible. Because way back there, when God began creation, His purpose was to bring forth a people unto Himself. A people out of manlings, a people out of Adamic race, a people out of those created for that purpose. But to do so, there would have to first come great destruction, and then greater restoration. And to be able to produce this, took all of that. In the fullness of the time, God sent His Son. He sent Him. And the Son didn't have to be pushed. You find an echo of His words in Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. Send me. And as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He doesn't want to push anybody. No. He wasn't pushed. He was sent a very, very willing Son. There was such a relationship between the Father and the Son. They flowed towards each other, as we mentioned this morning. And as the Son came, strange enough, the Trinity is inseparable, isn't it? We cannot divide the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Lord thy God, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is three gods. But it isn't written that way, is it? The Lord thy God is one God. And yet three persons. And they function as three persons, and that's the great mystery. But they are never separated. When the Son was sent by the Father came also. And they had wonderful fellowship as they walked this earth of ours. And Jesus would say, when He talked to the people, He said, I tell you what I've heard the Father say. Or He'd do a work of mercy or grace. He said, I've done what I saw the Father do. It's a pretty wonderful reunion, isn't it? They were always together. There was always that flow between them. In Him, we read in Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, my, I don't know how that's possible. Indwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In spite of the fact he emptied himself, he never stopped being God, did he? He never did stop being God. And so, Father sent the Son, John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He came teaching us about him. He came showing us who the Father really was, as we talked about this morning a bit. He was the one that declared who this God really is. Not only by his words, by his actions. He declared who his Father really was. He really knew his Father. And yet the Father was there. And the Father watched as that beloved, beloved Son. He was right there watching when they reviled him, cursed him, mocked him, hated him, wanted to get rid of him, wanted to get him out of the world even, threw stones at him. He watched it all. He watched it when he stood before the high priests. False priests they were. He watched it. How they hated him. How they couldn't keep from hitting him, kicking him, beating him. They couldn't stop such hatred. And the Father was watching it, wasn't he? He was watching it. And then he was there when he stood before Pilate. And saw the vaunted Roman justice fail utterly. And he was condemned. Condemned to a terrible beating. And out of the mouth of the judge came, "There's nothing wrong with him, so I'll just give him a beating." What for then? If he'd done nothing wrong, what for? And then on top of that, past sentence, the death sentence of the cross. The Father was there. And the Father didn't interfere. But I'll tell you one thing. The Father hurt as much as the Son. Did you know that? And probably more. Our redemption was at great price. We owe a debt we cannot pay. We owed a debt we cannot pay. Redemption at such a cross, such a price. No wonder Peter says the precious blood of Jesus. I think one thing and it troubles me, for I must say I'm guilty also. But every once in a while it troubles me. We take our redemption so casual. You know, one of the reasons we don't have a communion service very often is that it's so casual that it offends me. I remember back in the first part of this century when people were first generation Christians. Do you know what that means? Probably none of you are. They were off the street. They were out of their filth. Many of them were drunkards, filled with vice, and were redeemed. We're brought to Christ. We're changed. We're filled with the Spirit. And you know, I don't think I ever was in a communion service as a young man or as a child? Where the whole congregation would sit there and weep and could hardly take the communion. No one preached any weepy sermons. Just that spirit of thankfulness. This is my blood. We take it so casual. So casual. There was a price paid that you and I will never know. But little by little we'll get to know. God loved the Son. And that's one reason He loves Him more than ever. In that tremendous obedience. He who was equal, the express image of God, came down and dwelt in the womb of a woman. A little fetus. Placed in a manger. A little child, helpless. Just so He could fulfill the Father's will. And on through life, on through all that He did, all that He went through, all the persecution, all the injustices. I read that Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How is, no wonder He calls Him my beloved Son. My beloved Son. This is the one I love more than anything else in the world. This is the one I love more than anything else in the universe. I've set Him above all angels. I've set Him above all names, all principalities, all powers. He is the one. Beloved. He's never brought me shame. He's never brought me pain. He's never brought me unhappiness. He's my delight. And He always pleases me. What a testimony. What a Son. And that Son. That Son. With that immensity of love. He sent Him to die, to be our sacrifice, to take our place, not only on the cross, but into hell itself, in the depths of the earth. He went to take away my sin. Because God loved you. God loved me. And God loved us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not freely with Him give us all things? That love was transferred to us. Because that's what I read. Did you hear it? Did you read it? For He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He divested Himself of all signs of glory. He was hunted as a dog and to be killed. He was hated, misunderstood, forsaken. I hear Him say, perhaps the greatest pain of all. God, my God, why have You forsaken me? As if one answer He didn't have. He knew why the others did. Why have You? But He still went on. Faith still carried over. And on He went, buried. Dead, buried, lowest parts of the earth. I read in, He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is my beloved. This is my beloved. We're called and chosen to holiness and sonship and praise of God's glory. And this is what I want to get across. That tremendous love for the Son is for you. Because we are in the Beloved. John 17:23. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them. How? Has loved them as you have loved me. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? Could you understand that? We have been so identified with that beautiful Son that He doesn't even love us on two levels. He is so identified with us. He died that He might live in us. And Paul said, I am crucified, yet I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me, didn't He? And those marvelous words, those words of beyond comprehension, the words I can't understand, the words that make tears come to my eyes, He loves me like He loves Him. I can't understand it. But I rejoice in it. That's why I love Him. That's why I praise Him. That's why I rejoice in Him. That's why I want to glorify Him and lift up His name. You have loved them as you've loved me. What a God. What a God. What a purpose. What an infinite communion and fellowship with Him. We're not only adopted legally. It's more than that. I don't know how we did it. But it's more than that. Not only adopted, but loved as the beloved is loved, And that's staggering. That's incomprehensible. We haven't earned it. We haven't pleased Him. We've displeased Him over and over again. And He said, well, I put that behind my back. Because now you're in Him. And the same love I have for Him, I have to love you because you're in Him. And He's in you. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now. I once was blind, but now. What a difference. Put on therefore as elect of God, Colossians 3:12, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Let that Christ in you begin to manifest outward. Let that tremendous One that's in you and you in Him and so beloved, let it begin to flow out. Let it even come through your body as it came through His body. Let it so your hands flow through your hands as it flowed through His hand. Let it flow through your eyes. Let it flow through your lips. Oh, these lips of ours, how they destroy us. Let it flow through your lips. Love. Gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. Let it flow to your lips to show the world who's in us, who we are in, and the Beloved. To show the world who's in us, who we are in, and the Beloved. Loved as He is loved. Second Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. All is in the Son. What can I do but praise Him and love Him and worship Him and honor Him and seek by the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify Him so I do not bring Him shame, so I do not bring Him dishonor, so I do not bring Him disobedience, so I do not displease Him? John said, everything we ask of Him, He does for us because we please Him, didn't He? Because we please the Father. Oh, that we could learn to please Him. That we could learn to live as that Son lived because we're in Him. And He loves us the same. That's such a mystery. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't know how that's possible. Do you know how that's possible? I don't. Because, you see, we're so unlovable. We can't love one another. You can look around this building and find people you can hardly stand. Now, I won't ask you to show hands. And yet, can you love a brother like you love Jesus? And you know just a little bit about your brother. If you knew all that was worth to know, you wouldn't want to even sit in the same building with him. Or he with you. God knows everything. And He loves me like He loves the Son. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that amazing? How could I not love Him then? How could I not praise Him then? How could I not honor Him then? How can I not seek in every way to please Him, to bless Him, to lift up His name, to glorify Him? And what I do, it pleases the Father more. That's how I can please Him. That's one way I can really please Him, is by lifting up the Son, by glorifying the Son, by pleasing the Son, by obeying the Son, by not hurting, not bringing Him grief, not making Him listen to me spout off when my emotions arise, by not making Him ashamed of the things I say, of the places I go, of the things I do. As the Father has loved me, He loves you. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. He's so wonderful. What a salvation. What a Christ. What a God. What a plan of redemption. What a way to go. What a place to go to. Oh, I look forward to the day when darkness will turn to light. I can see things so much plainer. I feel so blind. I say to the Lord, Lord, I don't even know how to praise You. I don't have words. Sometimes I say, God, read my heart because there's not a word that fits You. There's not a word that fits occasion. There's not a word that says what I want to say. They're all poverty words. Little words. Words we can use for everything. I love You. We can say that to anything. We can say that to a dog. It doesn't mean much, does it? It's a poor word. The best we have. But thank God He can read a heart. Thank God He doesn't need words. You know, some of the best prayers you ever prayed never came to your lips. And some of the best praise you ever gave never came to your lips. Do you know that? What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away each day. He's wonderful. Shall we stand? O God, open my lips to praise Your name. Open my heart to love and adore You. Open my spirit, O God, and let light come into the darkness of my carnal mind and the darkness of this world. For light came into this world, the wonderful one, the beautiful one, the glorious one came into this world. And we treated Him as dirt, as an outcast, as an alien, and said, get off our earth. Oh, I'm sorry. But you're so wonderful. You wouldn't get off. You came back and said, I'm here to stay. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad you did. But Holy Spirit, let there come. Let there come a spirit of worship. A spirit of praise. A spirit of desire to give you glory and to give you honor, to uplift your name. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. That's the least I can do. And my praise isn't worth very much. But all it's worth, I'll give Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Oh, you saints of the Lord, you redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You who are called sons of the living God. You who are loved as no man on earth was ever loved. Come and praise Him. Come and lift up your heart and glorify Him. Come and bow before Him and worship Him. Come and express. Come, let it flow through your lips and flow through your heart and flow through your very being. I will praise Him.